Blog Talk Radio.
When it's not always raining, there'll be days like this. When there's no one complaining, there'll be days like this. Everything falls into place like the flick of a switch. Well, my mama told me there'll be days like this.
Scott Enstra Network. Tuesday, 03/08/2016. There's just a lot of stuff I need to cover tonight, but I'm not sure in what order I'm going to do that. I wanted to mention on my website or on the blog talk, if you've got a question, I've got my emails open. There's a few things that I definitely want to hit, though. And you'll notice that the show name Houston, we have a problem. The problem is the church, the people of God, are asleep at the wheel. Now, again, a lot of the people who listen, most of you people who listen to me and some others are not. And you're praying, you're seeking, you know, deliverance, you're trying to get the curses broke off you, getting ready for the battle, because that is what's coming. I don't like it. I don't like having to give the word, but I can't deny the facts. And the facts say that God's people perish from lack of knowledge. And just as Rockefeller said, you know, he referred to us as a bunch of dumb bastards, and that we deserve everything that's coming at us. Now, of course, I don't believe that. But what I do understand is that we've been given a job, we've been given a commission, we've been given a task to do, and the majority of us have not done it. And so what's coming is really our own fault. Now, across the board, doesn't mean everyone, but you do know what I mean. When you try and talk to somebody, when you suggest deliverance or you suggest something, you know, that will bring freedom, they'll deny it. They'll laugh at you. They'll scoff at you. They'll stab you in the back. They'll slander you. This is what goes on. And the scary thing is the elite know this. They know darn well that what they've done by putting this blanket of ignorance over the Christians, that we're done. Now, through divine intervention, through corporate prayer, through repentance, this can all change. But see, this is exactly what Satan does not want us to do. This is why there is such a task at hand to discredit my type of ministry and what I do, which is the great commission of Jesus Christ, to heal the sick, to set the captives free, cast out demons, make disciples of all men. So this fourfold ministry is there's so few of us that we can't carry the whole load. And the opposition of our own kind, because the division within homes, within families, within husbands and wives, you'll notice the picture that I had up, you know, I don't remember the name of that cartoon. It was funny. But unfortunately, the people who put it together and the voiceovers are all demonic. I mean, we're completely surrounded by demons, by people full of demons. This is Satan's world. And so the religious people will point and say, well, you're saying that there's a demon, you know, under every rock and behind every bush. No, what I'm saying is they're in your noggin. They're in your brain. They're in your body. They're causing you cancer. They're causing you ignorance. They're causing mental disorders. They're causing divorce. They're causing division amongst the people you love. And they're causing the United States to implode. Now, anyone who thinks that they should be praying for Obama is incorrect. Now, what we should be doing is to pray corporately for an intervention to remove the old rascal, because he's one of many. He's not appointed by God. This is a, they say democracy, but it's not. It's a republic. And so what we do is we vote for our people. We don't have a king appointed to us. And so when we see where Obama is and what he's been able to accomplish, then I can only assume that we're under a curse. Now, of course, the same thing happened in the Old Testament, that when people were disobedient, when they were rebellious, they got what they deserved. It was a curse from God. Now, what do we do as individuals? The ones listening to this show, the ones that understand us, the ones who know that the enemy has the others. You need to understand that. They've been captured. Okay? So the enemy came into the foxholes and stole some of us. Like a thief in the night, they came in and they got your so-called pastor. Like a thief in the night, they came in and they got your spouse. And so now they're as dumb as a box of rocks concerning the issue at hand. They laugh at you. They think you're stupid. And the sad thing is, this is the one you love. This is the one you've sworn before God that you will stay with. And that makes it, again, Houston, we have a problem. The picture, again, that's why I had the male-female. You'll notice that basically they're reptilian, that they are not human, pretending to be human, speaking like humans, acting, walking upright, the whole nine yards, but yet they're not human. And I've gone in detail before in past shows, no one likes to hear it, but at the same time, you ever seen when something's so terrible and you put your hands in front of your face, but you look between your fingers? You still listen to me. You don't like it, but you know I'm right. And though there may be, you know, an incident or a subject you don't believe, and then you research it, and then you find out that, holy smokes, he's right. Or Julie's right. So what I want to do is I want to discuss some of the issues that was warned to us about today. And these came from Jesus himself, and along with the writings from Luke and Mark and Matthew and just a whole plethora of issues. Because if you are a godly person, man or woman, women can prophesy, women can teach, women can do. Now, there's an order of things, okay, but that doesn't disqualify them completely. They are part of this, you know, to bring things right. So when we realize that the individuals who truly are anointed, the ones who have been given or accepted the task, many are called, few are chosen, okay, we also need to understand that the rejection of those called is many. There is only a remnant for the last days. So we look at Luke 4:24. We see that a prophet is in his own hometown is not honored. It says it again in Matthew 13:57 and Mark 6:24. Now, we also see that Jesus himself, now think about this. Think about this. Okay, Jesus as God, that because of the unbelief, like in Mark 6:5 and Matthew 13:58, that he could do no mighty work. He could do no mighty miracle. He couldn't do what he would normally do in his own hometown or where there was unbelief. God? So now let's break this down. We're of free choice. And we're capable of quenching the Holy Spirit. We can offend our angels. We can be disobedient. We can be rebellious. We can do things such as witchcraft. And when these things are present, the powers, the gifts, those things from God are lessened. Now, how does that happen? Does God either pull his hand away? I believe he does. But I also see that because of your sin, this is sin, then you have given demons legal right to interfere. I've talked about it. It's like a football team. You've got the tackle, you know, you've got guys that block, you guys run interference. And so hindering and blocking demons, that's their sole task, come into the minds, the hearts, and the souls of people. A great delusion. Okay, giving a lying spirit. And these things come in and set up camp and put people in position where they're unable to hear the truth. They're under a curse. Because the truth will set you free. But in order to do it, John the Baptist, as he came out of the wilderness, said, repent. God is a God of order. I'm going over this again because you need to understand. I ventured out into the churches again recently, and just as the order goes, the knife wielding, axe wielding Jezebels come out of the woodwork. And any time that you have somebody who's truly trying to do the work, now look, I'm not perfect. I will never tell you that I'm perfect. I have made my mistakes. I've made my mistakes in my ministry. I've been taken to the woodshed. I've had the snot beat out of me. And I'm tired of being beat up. And I learned a long time ago that if I'm going to fight demons, my nose has to be clean. Because I'm not only fighting the demons that I had and that want to get me, I'm fighting your demons. And some of you got some really bad boys out there. And they would love nothing more than to pinch my head off. And so I have to walk correctly. Now, I make my mistakes, but that's where grace comes in. When you repent, you're given that second chance. And some of these churches tell you don't need to do that, that it's all been done on the cross. Really? Well, yeah. I mean, it is finished, said Jesus. But, you know, the Great Commission in Matthew 28 tells us we're to continue in all things that were commanded of him to do until the return of Jesus. Cast out demons. Heal the sick. Make disciples of all men. Bind up the brokenhearted. All prophesied in Isaiah 61, what, 400-some-odd years prior? And here we are today, pushing that 2,000 year after Christ. And the book of Revelation is in full swing. There's a great falling away. Homosexuality has entered the church. Same-sex marriage has entered the church. Doctrines of demons have been in the church. Homosexuality has actually always been around. Many pastors, including some incidences that were as much as 10 years ago before I even moved up here to Idaho. And I've talked about it. And when you have this idea that you can continue in your sins while representing God, see, that's what you're doing, or what they're doing. And for some reason, you've bought the lie that you can get away with it. Now, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, and the only way you're going to be in Christ Jesus is to be obedient. For Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. So if you're not obedient, if you're being rebellious and you're being sinful, you're taken out from underneath that umbrella of protection. We see in Corinthians where a man had his father's wife, and they said to turn him over to the devil for a time. Ooh, big stuff, huh? So now you know why some of you are getting your hands kicked. That's why I got mine kicked. I can stand here today knowing full well what I had done in my past, that through my repentance, through my confession and my renouncing and asking for forgiveness, cleaning myself up and moving forward, that there is no condemnation for my past sins. The trick is to move forward and make sure you don't duplicate them. Make sure that as I preach, as I pray over people and break their curses and cast out their demons, that I don't duplicate, replicate, deja vu what I did before. Because if I do, I'm getting hammered. I'm getting hammered big time. And a warning goes out to those when you accuse men of God. You need to remember what the Pharisees did to Jesus, and that it was seen as an abomination, at which there was no redemption, for blaspheming the Holy Spirit. So if I'm doing the work of God and people blaspheme you and tell you that you're out of order, you're lying, and you truly are doing the work of God, you know, there are things called death angels, right? What was it, 180,000 in one night? What do you think makes the ground open up and swallow people? How do you think curses are carried out? When the Holy Spirit, when His angels, when God's angels move away from you, how many out there remember when you were playing baseball as a kid? You know, even girls with softball. I'm not a particularly big guy, but I seem to have a good swing on me. And when I got up to the bat, everybody moved back. And it was a perfect time to bunt and fool them. But there were times I could nail that sucker and it would go over everyone's head no matter how far back they went. When you do sin, you are offending your angels that are there to protect you. You're quenching the Holy Spirit. And you're flying in the face of what Jesus did for you. And all of the anointing, all of the covering, all of the grace backs away from you. I told you in my testimony that when I came to Jesus Christ, that I was trying to do an outer body experience. I was trying to reach into the spirit realm through mirrors and candles and all of that hoodoo, voodoo garbage. Didn't know what I was doing. Had a clue what I was doing. And boy, I did. I opened up that veil. And I was in a position that was like outer darkness. No love of God. Even though I was not a Christian, the realization that even though this is the Satan's world, the prince of this world, that because of God, the order of things still stay. And when I was put there, there was no love of God. And it was terrifying. It truly was weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. And you know, it took years and years and years and years of going to churches until I went through some very bad circumstances to find out that playing church was not going to protect me from demons. if anything, playing church and accepting doctrines of men which are influenced by demons or specific doctrines of demons, that in reality I was disobedient, I was rebellious, and I was sinful. So the church potentially was sending me to hell. Because, ladies and gentlemen, you need to understand that when we see in Galatians that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Backbiting, slandering, gossip, evil speaking, fornication, adultery, on and on and on. That's what's in the church. And now we have homosexuality. Now we have those things that God cannot be in two places, cannot be there. He cannot be there. When Jesus was on the cross and he said, you know, Father, why have you forsaken me? The top theologians all agree that at that point in time, the sins of the world were upon Jesus, that God couldn't even look at him, and he too was in the hour of darkness. This is Jesus. The one who paid for your sins, the one who canceled your e-ticket to hell. And by not being obedient, you are denying his works. And when you deny his works, you are allowing demons to have legal rights to you. And because the church didn't teach you that, you're screwed up. Your spouse is messed up, your kids are screwed up, you're broke. And you're right for the picking right now for Homeland Security, for FEMA, for the UN police actions, for Obama's martial law. Holy wow. This wonderful, beautiful country of ours is literally owned by the Chinese. Thank you, Bill Clinton, and anyone out there who thinks Hillary. What, you know, even if it's demons in your head, you're stupid. This woman is a murderer. She is a lesbian. She is an enemy of God. So you want to support an enemy of God? Well, let's see, who was that? That one psychologist. How's that working for you? You know, I just need to get this in your crawl to understand there are no second chances here. We're on the home stretch. Paul tells us to run the good race. And right now, as the angels go about writing into the books that will be opened up, that as God judges the world and us as Christians go at the bema seat before Jesus Christ, our works would be tested. Those things that were not of worth will be burned up. And many will say, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy? Did we not cast out demons in your name? And he will say, Jesus, away from me, I did not know you. This false identity as a Christian is running rampant, because anyone who accepts homosexuality, same-sex marriage into a church and calls themselves a Christian, they are deceived. They are going to the lake of fire. Because you see, with this attitude and this teaching and this acceptance of doctrines of demons, you're infecting other people, and you're held responsible for the blood, and it will be on your hands. Children are the main target of Satan right now, because we are in the last days. Okay, many of you are already past that age. Some of you he already has. And so he's going after the kids. And if you're a parent and you have done the things that I'm talking about, and you have not broken the curses, and you have not repented, you have passed your children through the fire. That means Satan has a right to your kids. Now, I've mentioned before, when it came to that, when we talk about Deuteronomy, that when Moloch, the abortion spirit, by the way, killing of children, sacrificing, that the idol itself, very large in stature, was in itself was a oven and was stoked so hot that as the parents brought the children and dropped it into the arms, they would immediately burst into flames. I mean, I can't even comprehend that. And I'm telling you right now that what I believe, and let me define something here. I believe that children under the age who are not of the accountability stature yet, you know, such as children in the womb, that they go to heaven or they go to be with God. And then there's a certain point of time, and everyone's different. Now, where that line is drawn, that's God's choice. But there's a point in time where we're accountable for our actions, we're responsible for what we do, and our sins will be held against us. Now, if you are a parent, and you've got your kids in a very, very strong stronghold of generational curses, and my point is those in the day back then when they were sacrificing children with Moloch, and God warned not to pass the children through the fire, then I believe that those children were not redeemed. I would like to think different. And until something comes along, which I hope it does, to disprove me, and I want to be disproved. But it is a warning to us all that how serious it is that we need to be obedient and right with the Lord that our children will not suffer for our stupidity. You love your children, I love mine. And when I went through all of this, there was the curse of the bastard in my family. And Deuteronomy reminds us, 23, that those who are born out of wedlock, the children will not inherit the kingdom of God. That was priority one when I discovered that, when I first entered the deliverance ministry. And it was the first thing I went after and removed, broke, renounced, confessed, and asked for forgiveness. And then spoke the words, I break this curse of the bastard off of my children, bloodline, and all future generations in the name of Jesus Christ. There's a peace of mind. Simple words. The work was done. All the hard work was done by Jesus. See, that's the other thing. How simple it is to come out of such a situation through your spoken word, your obedience, to move forward and grace because of your repentance. That means then you've been redeemed. Okay? What a wonderful thing. What a wonderful thing to do. Because we don't deserve it. Now, God, the God of the Bible, God of the universe, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, not the God of this world, meaning Lucifer. See, real quickly, you need to remember that when people talk about God and Jesus Christ is not mentioned, there's a possibility they're talking about Lucifer. Okay? So what happens? You sit there and you are in agreement. Excuse me. Clear my throat. you're in agreement with a man who is a Mason, pretending to be a man of God before you in the pulpit, calls himself pastor, which is not the order of things. But Scott, no. Tell me where that's the order of things. Especially when he's number four on the list of the elders. Now, when you have an individual that preaches God, God himself says that no one comes to him except through Jesus Christ. So why, if God being a God of order, would you only talk about God and not Jesus? I think it's quite clear. So there, the suspicion that I have for 99.9% of the so-called pastors out there is you aren't who you say you are. Because in reality, if you really were who you say you are, we wouldn't be where we are. You'd be mighty men of God who are directing the flock, God's children, bond servants of Jesus Christ, to move forward in all power and all authority against the wiles of the enemy. But we're not doing that. Well, why are we not doing that? 1, 2, 3, A, B, C, I don't get it. The exorcist scratches his chin in wonderment. What's wrong with this picture? Now, let me real quickly, I got a lot here. By the way, I'm not going to be cutting off in an hour. I'm just going to go till for the 2 hours or until I run out of things to say. The recent shooting here in Coeur d'Alene of the pastor of the altar, which, by the way, look through Scripture and find a church referred to as the altar, which you'll find when it's altar that there are sacrifices. Now, that's interesting. Why would you want to go to a church of sacrifice? I thought Jesus did everything on the cross. And why do pastors want to wear goatees? You know, when I was raised in the 60s as a child and a teenager, young adult in the 70s, and then became a parent in the 80s, whenever the representation of a goatee on a man, it was always of the devil or something to portray in a person who's evil. Now, I thought as men and women of God, we were not to even give the appearance of being pertaining to such things. So why are the supposable mighty men of God in my territory here in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, wearing goatees? A lot of people think, well, you're taking that, really? Excuse me, I cast out demons. I interrogate them. I waterboard them. I rip them out like some old dentist from the 1800s with a pair of pliers on the chest of a miner with a really nasty tooth that needs to come out. And when I rip those suckers out, they stink. And I'll guarantee you that something stinks here in Coeur d'Alene. This whole town, now, my associate and I came through Spirit Lake, that's just north of me here, over the weekend. Took some time off. Beautiful country. Rathrum, some of the other towns around here were known for witchcraft. Priest Lake, just north here, was a Jesuit founding, okay? I got Hoodoo Mountain not too far from me. And again, the local towns here were known for its witchcraft. So why is the town of Spirit Lake on an old church on the main road, 41 I think it is, it goes up through there, why does it have the Star of Rimfram? Many of you call it the Star of David, which it is not. Could it be that it's an indication to tell us that the Zionists, which are not Hebrew, which are not truly the people of God, own that town? I say yes, that's exactly what's going on. So, being a deliverance minister, an exorcist, I'm here on my own. Now, I have people that I've worked with, and that's going to change. Because, you see, I'm no longer the pup. I'm no longer the snot-nosed kid. I'm now the old dog sitting on the rug in front of the fire, because I've seen it all. I have gray hair. I'll be pushing 60 here, my next birthday. Not terribly old, but I'm no spring chicken. This is now my 16th year of casting out demons. And I will tell you that behind everything that has the appearance of evil is. See, that's the law of averages. That's running the numbers. It's called probability. You know, I took those classes when I was a young technician for a very large electronics corporation many, many years ago. And statistics or analysts of facts are actually quite amazing. They can predict the probability of an outcome very accurately. It's amazing. It really is. It was used in the production of items that if there was a mistake here in this manufacturing, what was going to be the estimate of loss of throughput? Throughput meaning, you know, the product at the end of the line. and what we could do to rectify that so that that throughput would increase regardless of the circumstances of the mismanufacturing. So when I use that same theology, technology, philosophy in my ministry, I keep coming up with a what I believe is a very accurate count that if it walks like a duck, it quacks like a duck, then most likely it's a duck. So with the supporting of Ted Cruz, which we've already determined is a Freemason, and you cannot worship two masters, you cannot drink the cup of demons and the cup of Christ, then again, as I mentioned, that something stinks or something rotten in Denmark, there must be some connection here. Now, I understand that the individual in question already knows who I am and does not like me. I also know that an associate of his that I dealt with in a church recently or a couple years ago now, where I was removed because of my stance on deliverance, that as I've told you before, that immediately there were suicides within that church, including a family member. Do you remember me telling you that when you go against the power of God, the will of God, and when you have an individual who's obedient, like Jesus, and you have people like the Pharisees, which, by the way, probably were reptilian, then you have blasphemed the Holy Spirit. Do you remember the old World War II saying, death from above? You know, dropping bombs and dive bombers and kamikazes and Spitfires, you know, all those things. When this stuff finally hits and the issue of sin is revealed, that your sins are shouted from the rooftop. And the very nature of who you are is exposed. Now, God in His grace doesn't necessarily take you out first time around. He gives you a second chance. Now, like I say, I got my rear end beat up pretty good years ago. And came to the understanding that the only way that I'm going to survive the attacks that will come from Satan is for my nose to be clean, to be obedient. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That's what it means. Now, you can have the people who slander. You can have the people who gossip, point fingers, and say all the things that they do. Did you know that those go into the lamb or go into the books that the angels write, and that every idle word that you say and everything that you do that is in opposition of God will be laid out before you. Now, the good thing is that if you repent, those can be blotted out. But because of pride, ignorance, and heresy, remember, pride cometh before the fall, many of you are not going to do it. Now, again, I'm not talking to everybody that listens to me, but I'm trying to reach those who are new listeners and those who maybe may not have made the decision yet. Look, I'm not here to just flap my gums. This is a lot of work. Coming up with material, doing the research, calling and talking to people whose lives are destroyed, whose kids are in bad shape. It's a lot of work. And the only way I'm able to do this is someone's got my back. Because there surely isn't any money in it. I made a decision a long time ago to leave the corporate world. And by doing so, I put myself in a position of being a teacher, even somewhat of a prophet. I don't like that, because I know what a true prophet is. I get words of, let's just say, words of knowledge that help and assist me in what I'm doing. And with that is a higher accountability. Paul made it very clear to us. And so the standards that I have to keep in order to stand before Jesus and have him say, well done, good and faithful servant, are pretty high. So the question of who being accountability, well, let's take the NIV, as I mentioned the other day, and just get rid of it. When you go to Romans 13 and read it, you'll find that God is who we follow. God is who we're accountable. When you place yourself solely accountable to men, and again, the order of the pyramid, like a pastor, which I completely do not agree with, then you're being held accountable to an individual that they themselves is potentially corruptible. And so if you're putting your whole spiritual faith into a corruptible man, you've screwed up. Especially when you get people who think that they're spiritualists, that they have, that God speaks to them, the Holy Spirit puts into them the right, that they have revelation, things that contradict the Word of God, and that they want to speak into your life. See, everyone thinks that they can see counterfeits coming. Everyone thinks that they can see a wolf in sheep's clothing. They can see the lie coming, like it's a car off in the distance coming towards you. You can look in the distance and you can see it coming and prepare for its arrival. That's not how the devil works. Now, we've gone so far down the rabbit hole that he's driving an 18-wheeler at us right now. There's a whole convoy. And we're looking at these big old trucks and we're saying, wow, look at that, coming to our rescue. When in reality, in the back of the bed where the storage is, there's a whole bunch of demons in there. Kind of like refugees trying to sneak in. And when those doors open up, whenever you have a massive amount of numbers, you're easily overwhelmed. By the way, that opens up. I think it was Britain. When they went up against the Japanese, those great big old battleships that they had, which were really incredible for their day, and they certainly had a purpose. But the Japanese knew with the kamikazes that the sheer numbers of the men that they were willing to sacrifice overwhelmed the battleships and sunk them. Those great, big, wonderful, man-made things of steel that could blast an island out were taken down by a bunch of moths. That's really what it amounts to. When you got a bunch of things coming at you and dropping bombs and shooting bullets by the thousands, everyone on deck's going to get shot. They're going to get burned. They're going to get blown out of their nests. And you'll notice that today the battleships are not quite the main fortress of our military. We have lots of other things. But in the day, they found out real quick that numbers quickly take down the big boys. And so what we're dealing with today is we're dealing with masses of numbers of demons. Demons from hatred, anger, rage, perversion. Everything in the world to defile us, to corrupt us, to put us into a position that if we are not in Christ Jesus, we'll be turned over to a debased mind. And when that takes place, God help you. Because the time's short. Let me put something in perspective here, and I want to warn everybody because it keeps me in check. You know, I'm single. I wasn't born, raised. It's not part of my nature to be single. It's just the way it is right now. And so I've had to walk away from any potential natural actions with the opposite sex. We'll put it that way. Now, for those who still consider fornication sex outside of marriage, and you believe of the pre-trib rapture, aren't you kind of contradicting yourself? You're in there doing things that allow demons to have you, and you think that when the return of Jesus Christ that you're getting out of here? Jesus comes down and sees you in the sack. What do you think he's going to do? See, that doesn't make any sense. Fornication, in what it does to your body, because your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, we're made in the image of God. And by doing such things, you're defiling that image. You are committing an abomination before the Lord. And this is exactly the temptation that Satan brings in, especially for men. Women can have the issues too. It goes both ways. We got pornography, you know, in the click of a button, everything's there. Many, 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 many men, I always hear the same thing. It was like something entered me, and I was never the same again when I clicked on that picture. I can't tell you how many men that I've talked to, and the Holy Spirit said, he's lying. On the hard drive, in a special little file, he's got his favorite picture that he's put away for a rainy day. He's lying to you. And the demons still have him, and they know it, and you're not going to get anywhere till he confesses and tells you that he is going to promise you that he is going to go in and erase, delete that picture. Now, you do know that when you delete a file on the hard drive, it doesn't go away. What you've done is you've removed the tag to access the picture. And what it means is that that spot on the hard drive can be used later for more memory that it can be written over. So until that takes place, you haven't gotten rid of it. That digital format is still there that can be interpreted through the spirit realm as a naked picture of something you shouldn't be looking at. See, women's nakedness are for their husbands. And when the women themselves engage in such things, they are a prostitute. They are selling their bodies. Oh, they may only make a buck. I don't know. Whatever the deal is. Some make more than others. But in reality, that's prostitution. And if you're married, you're committing adultery. And so what you have done is you have broken the blood covenant. That means that Jesus will allow that divorce. Doesn't mean the woman can go on and marry, though. Now you've put her in a precarious position. Now, there's a lot of debate about that. Some people remarry. Boy, you know, I go back and forth on that because I'd like to remarry someday. I had the blood covenant broke on me. Very sticky. But you see how complicated by this behavior that it becomes and that puts you in a category that damned if you do and damned if you don't? Do you see what the devil did to you? Now, when I say the devil, he's a big boy. The fallen angels, they're in Obama, they're in, you know, all the other guys. So you're dealing with the demons. Now, some of you may actually be dealing with lower level fallen angels, and however that works. And if you've done that, it usually means you've been in the occult. And the more that you have done the divination, okay, you need to remember in the Old Testament that those who practice such things were put to death. And again, the reason for that is when you commit, you know, these abominations of sorcery, witchcraft, and divination, that you have literally tapped into the spirit realm and you've opened a porthole for demons to come and go, and you have infected the area. So now your home's got demons. Your spouse has got demons. Your kids have got demons. They're in your house. Some of you have visitations. Some of you wake up with something underneath the sheets. Some of you get scratched. I know a woman that had to seek medical treatment because the demons bruised her. Pretty bad stuff. Why do you think how that happens? Well, sin. That's number one. But not all sins lead to death. So apparently, what you've done to allow the demons to do that, or generational. I know one of the very first cases I dealt with when I was a new deliverance minister, it was a doozy, let me tell you. We talk about giving me the giving me the big one first out of the chute, where the grandfather would drug kids and take nasty pictures of them. His daughter then became a witch, who then infiltrated churches to take them down, and her daughter, who had a calling on her life. The woman literally tried to kill the child in the crib. The plot thickens. But through divine intervention, the child lives, but ends up under a curse for the rest of the life until she is delivered. How the mother turned out, don't know. I know that the mother was still in the church doing what she does best, lying, deceiving, and casting and spewing her demons all over the other people because they were too ignorant to understand that it was a doctrine of demons that this woman was prophesying over them. See, when you don't test the spirit, when you don't line things up with the word of God, being a good Berean to search the scriptures daily, then these things will come upon you. Pretty amazing, huh? All right. And in that circle that I just did, what I was getting at was that things in here in Coeur d'Alene are not good. And so if this community by itself is in the shape that it's in, then I'll gauge that the rest of the United States is pretty much in the same boat. And that there's information that the protection by God for those to hopefully repent. Notice, remember when I said in the Corinthians that to turn them over to Satan for a time in hopes that his soul will be saved, which is through repentance, that in that circumstance, that's now ending. The hammer's going to drop here. You're going to start seeing pastors dying right at the pulpit. You're going to see madmen come in with guns and blast them away. You're going to see things take place that literally will show you that all hell has broke loose. Now, there are pastors who are good. I know that. And there will be divine intervention. In fact, there's been cases already where that has taken place. But I'm telling you right now that the time is short. And when you intentionally deceive God's people, there's a big fly swatter waiting for you. And you're not going to get away from it. And we see in the book of Revelation that those who seek death did not find it, because they were tormented for 5 months. And what did they do? They still blasphemed God and cursed him. How can that be? How can people who see the power of God as a condemnation, wrath come upon them, and still not repent? Could it be maybe they're not all human? Could it be that the Holy Spirit left them a long time ago? Could it be that they were turned over to a debased mind? That they were turned over to their sins? That their conscience are seared with a hot iron? I'm telling you right now, ladies and gentlemen, that there are a massive amount of people that real quickly hear things are going to start happening. And I believe that this week, with the shooting, that was one of the precursors. Now, whatever the true circumstances are, I can only speculate. But as I mentioned, that if you truly are a man of God, then act like one. Don't call a church by the name of something where you come and sacrifice, because Jesus already did it. And if you're going to have a church, then be a bondservant of Jesus Christ and do deliverance and cast out demons. Now, there are other ministries that are on the air that I have questions that potentially, if you had a lot of satanically, richly abused individuals get away, and you wanted to round them up, what do hunters do when they want to get a good buck? Do they not go sometimes, not everybody does this, some people like the true hunter, the true sport of the game, that they'll go out and they'll put feed and different things, you know, whatever the particular animal that they're after, whatever appeals to them, to bait them, to lure them in. You know, coyote hunting was really big in Arizona. I don't know if it still is or not, maybe. And here's something interesting about coyotes. And maybe with some other game, too. They don't really have a tendency to look up for some reason. And so guys would get up in the trees and they would, you know, call out like a wounded rabbit, which is really disgusting to hear, because I've heard things by other means like that. And it reminds me that some of the torment that I've seen people in when demons manifest. And they would bring in, you know, call them in, and the coyote's thinking they're coming to dinner, and boom, they get shot. And they never thought to look up. And in that, next thing you know, they're dead. Apologize, I had to turn that phone off. These phones are quite amazing. No matter what you do, they don't answer. In fact, the electronics stuff that I've got here in the studio has been temperamental. Anyways, no ill I wish on anybody. See, when I learned that my sins came back to bite me, I repented. And it's the only reason that I have this ministry. Because if I don't repent, I'm in trouble. You know, again, there was the question about my accountability. Really? Well, my accountability is that I want to live. I want to draw my next breath. I don't want to be eaten up by cancer. I don't want some crave maniac shooting me in the back. And if I'm going to be a bondservant of Jesus Christ, then I'm going to keep my nose clean and I'm going to walk forward, that in that I can be a servant of God, that he's got my back. And if he so chooses to remove me, then so be it. But the moment and the twinkling of an eye that I'm before him, I can stand in righteousness. Now that's only possible through the blood of Jesus Christ. And anyone who does not follow the commandments of Christ is disobedient. Period. It's why you got demons. It's why your marriage sucks. Now, sometimes, and it happens a lot, that when you're walking right, you will be attacked. But that's when we don't take offense, because we know what's going on. And so we walk away from the fleshly thought of being, you know, insulted, and letting God take control, because a lot of these are his fight. In fact, that was one of the conversations over the weekend. There are times that it's God's fight, especially when it comes to Jezebels and witches. You take your stand, you do what you're supposed to do, you bind on earth and you loose on in the heavens, and you do the whole thing. And at a certain point in time, then God takes over. See, we're the ones in the fight right now. You know, this really happened to me. I had somebody wanted me to pray for him. And it was kind of in a public setting. And so I did. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. That's why I use my name, by the way. Scott Hensler is not ashamed of the gospel. And so as I was praying for this person, there didn't seem to be a lot of Holy Spirit show up. Then I heard this really weird noise. Now, my eyes were closed. And I just had to see what the heck was going on. And as I looked up, the woman that I was praying for had an emery board and was doing her nails. What? You mean we go before God and we can do our nails? Was this someone really seeking the Lord? Or was this fear demons blocking, hindering demons, putting her in a position of nervousness that basically she was fidgeting? Could be. But later on found out, no, they truly didn't have the heart and truly were not seeking the kingdom of God. And so a lot of people who come to me, unfortunately, that's what's going on. And I know this when I pray. Because when the Holy Spirit shows up now, some people say, well, I thought, no, there are levels of things. When the Holy Spirit, we'll call it when the Holy Spirit moves. He's here, but when he gets up, have you had someone walk past you when you're sitting down and you can feel the breeze go by because they're somewhat large? or they're small and they're moving very fast, we'll just call it a moving of the Holy Spirit. And when it doesn't happen, the reason it doesn't happen is because there's unrepentant sin. Now, for instance, there was a young man that I was praying for, and this wasn't too long ago, and the Holy Spirit told me, said, Scott, he stole something today. Now, I don't hear voices. I get words of knowledge. And so I was standing behind him, and I had my hands on his shoulder, and I leaned forward, and I said, you stole something today, and we need to repent of it. What was it? And he turned his head real slow, and he looked at me, and he said, well, I stole a video game out of the store. I said, well, what you need to do is you need to promise that you're going to return it or go pay for it. And we'll renounce and confess and ask for forgiveness and cast out all demons pertaining to it under the auspices that you are going to do what you said you're going to do, because if you don't, they're not going to be happy and they're going to come back and you're going to be in trouble. Well, guess what? Wasn't too much later that I got a phone call, and the father was sitting on him because he was out of control. Do you see how that works, people? Let your yes be yes and your no be no. Because anything other than that comes from Satan. And when that takes place in your life, you are an instrument of the devil. No place to be. Bad place to be. So I want you to know that the only way the demons are going to leave you and the only way that the curses are going to be broke off of you is through repentance. When I lead people through, when they come in my office or I'm on the phone with them, I have them go down right through the list. I'll take the time. I've got a little checklist here, a little questionnaire. Some people say, well, I just want the Holy Spirit to lead me and all. Do you know why I do what I do? Because when you confess your sins to one another, when you actually speak them out, you are canceling the demonic right. You are being obedient in doing what Jesus told us to do. So if I'm going to just sit here and pray for you, then there's no renouncing and confession. Now, there are times that I come in and with a baseball bat, and I go in the spirit realm and I just start knocking heads. And I let the chips fall where they may to find out when the smoke clears, where are we? Because sometimes people are so messed up, rattling on and this and that, and I can't get anywhere with them. So I just go in and I take authority. And at that point, when the person's mind is more clear and they're able to understand better, they'll go, wow, that wasn't me. That was a demon. Yep. So what are you going to do about it? Well, I don't want him in me anymore, so I'm going to do what you tell me to do. So I lead them through renouncing, confessing, and asking for forgiveness. And then I cast the demons out. And when I cast them out, I don't send them out into outer darkness. Whoever taught you that doesn't know what they're talking about. I mean, out into dry places. When that takes place, they're just there cruising around, just like old Satan and Job. What are you doing, Satan? Oh, I'm going to and fro. Just, you know, me and my buddies here. No. I make them go away. And it's your job to make sure that you don't go back and unlock that door and let them back in. Because when they come back in, they're going to be pissed. And some of you say, well, maybe I just shouldn't cast my demons all out together. Is that what the Lord said? And did you just negotiate with the demons to say that, hey, You know, I won't come over in your ranch and stomp on your bushes if you don't come over on my ranch and stomp on my bushes. That's not how demons work. They'll laugh at you. They'll actually give you a break. Did you know that? They'll go have a coffee. They'll sit there and play cards and laugh about what they're going to do to you and even maybe develop a strategy. And then they're going to come back and they're going to take you on and they're going to really mess you up. Now, the sad part is, the only reason they did that is because you were disobedient. And by fully understanding, through repentance, renouncing, confessing, asking for forgiveness, and having someone like me stand with you in agreement, in proxy, alongside my brother and sister, where two or more are gathered, then we get rid of them. And they don't come back. Now you can breathe. Now your car is not going to keep breaking down. Now your wife isn't going to go cheat on you. Your kids aren't going to go take drugs. The curse that was upon them to do things that would have led them to incarceration isn't going to take place now. Wow, what a win-win situation. But because the church, the corporate church, the four walls that has nothing to do with God, has told you otherwise, has convinced you to even seek counsel from Jezebels, to even seek counsel from those who have snuck into the church that are witches, to curse you. They'll use certain words. It's like Julie lays out the numbers and the terminologies used by the occult, that it sounds like it's okay, but when you really dissect it and lay it out, it has nothing to do with the word. For instance, now, some of you remember that I took a little trip here a while back because someone passed away. And I want to thank those people who supported me on that trip because that really made a difference. That was a stretch on the money, and I was able to do it because of your support. And I would do it again, regardless of the situation. And on the way there, I became ill. I don't know whether we talked about it or not. And it was a 2-3 day drive, 2-day drive, and the illness was different than I've ever felt before. It wasn't like flu. It wasn't like something else. It was more of a neurological issue. And I didn't quite understand what was going on, but I hung in there, and I got to a hotel or motel. And I was gearing up to be on a show that night because I had to get in and get logged in and so I could get on the Internet. And as I was getting things ready, I don't see very well without my glasses. I have to have my glasses. And I looked down at my hand, and I about fell over. I thought I had melanoma on my hand. I've seen cancer before, raised in Arizona. I know what that stuff looks like. And I quickly went in the bathroom and got my glasses and looked at it, and here it was a spider bite, blistered with a black dot in the middle of it. It's no wonder I was sick. No wonder I was feeling a neural situation. Now, I just don't get bit by spiders. But here I'm on my way to a man's death, a colleague, and that takes place. Then I end up on the air, not feeling good, but doing the best I can. And there's a call for one of the other people that was on the show to be sacrificed on the altar. Now, thousands were listening. Nobody caught it, but I did. And I privately prayed against it. And then brought it up to Julie later, and she went back through and listened to it and verified it, and then stood against it again. And I really believe because we did that, the second one in line for the curse did not take place. Ladies and gentlemen, when you allow witches and Jezebels and a combination of the two and even reptilians into your church because you did not test the spirit, you did not line their doctrine up to the word of God, you're all going to the slaughter. Nothing good is going to come of it, because we see in Revelation 2:20 that when Jesus spoke to the angels, he said, "This I have against you. You have allowed," notice the word, allowed this woman Jezebel. Now, specifically, the words were used woman. That if you do not take action, that if you allow yourself to be an Ahab, and this spirit continues, you will be held accountable. You will be thrown into a sick bed along with her. You know what? That's big stuff. That's how serious God's word is. And again, you'll notice that it's in the book of Revelation that in the last days, there must be an increase of it. Well, ladies and gentlemen, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, I mentioned in the past two shows or so that the situation is actually happening now. I'm the only one that's got the cojones to stand up against it. And because I'm the only one that voiced my opinion, I'm the one that's taking the condemnation from it. But I know that I'm doing right, because in Paul's writings, that we're to expose evil. Because as a man of God, as a teacher, as an evangelist, as a prophet, as whatever you want to call that, that I'm a watchman. And then, and even as a pastor, where you watch the flock, the sheep, I have to protect them. Because if I do not, the blood of those who perish will be on my hands. So I'm telling you that every pastor out there, the responsibility, the condemnation for this nation and the people who will perish are going to be on their hands. And I said a little bit ago that judgment is already starting to fall. And because of that, we're going to see things take place in churches that are going to astound us. Now, we also see that people can actually be eaten up by worms. Now, that's pretty disgusting. I think that's really bad. You know, when I was working with the search and rescue and doing the homicide evidence retrieval, when you have a homicide, doesn't mean that you just find the body. It may be there for 24, 48 hours. And especially in the desert, when it's 110 degrees outside, you can have somebody who's blonde, blue-eyed, as white as can be mistaken for another race. That's what the sun does in a very short period of time for a human body that is no longer pumping blood. And in that evidence retrieval, sometimes we've got to sift through the maggots. And let me tell you, it's one of the worst things I've ever done in my life. And I don't do well with that. I'm not one of those that can smell the smell of death and eat a bologna sandwich like my partner did. I don't know how he did it. Something's wrong with that boy. But yet there are people who can do it, and God bless you for it, because someone's got to do it. Someone's continuing to do it. And we see that there's going to be so much death that there'll be teams going around and marking the bodies for a second team to come and deal with it. Now, that sounds like radiation to me. or a bile type of circumstance. And ladies and gentlemen, this is no time to be in sin. This is no time to behave in a manner that allows demons to have full legal right to you. Because, again, people, why I'm doing what I'm doing is to make sure that your kids, children, do not have to deal with your sins. Look, this new world order, the globalists, the Illuminati, the Luciferians, the Zionists, they're coming after your kids. I've told you this. And to break curses, to cast demons out, to renounce, to confess, to ask for forgiveness, put your children in a better position to endure what's coming. Have you ever heard of testimonies where people who were fleeing for their lives, like I'm trying to think, it might have been Vietnam, might have been Korea, I don't remember, that a soldier, a U.S. soldier, was under attack. He somehow got separated. I don't remember the whole story. And as he was fleeing to safety, he crawled into a hole that he was able to fit in, whatever that hole was about, I don't know. And a spider came along and spun a web in front of him and made the hole look like it had been there and no one had entered it for a very long time. So as the enemy went by and looking here and there, as they looked into this hole, he was down on the as far down as he could go, they saw the spider web. They then assumed nobody was in there. Now, that is divine intervention. And I believe in the last days, as God pours out his spirit, that those are the very things that are going to take place. And I want to be in a position that I don't have sin hanging over my head, that when God wants to bless, then he can, instead of wanting to and can't because you're in disobedience. Not a good place to be. That's how important it is to walk right. All right. Let me remind everyone here, we struck a deal with shortwave radio transmitter in Okeechobee, which used to be the family transmitter. And we're going to be transmitting on 11.58 megahertz and 11.92 megahertz. One will be pointed towards Europe, and one will be pointed towards South America. And that's referred to as azimuth on their antennas, the way they worked out. It's an incredible situation that's been there for years and years. But now we have a chance. Now, the Internet is a good tool, but Blog Talk has been not up to speed, not satisfactory. And I believe that we need to reach more people. Now, the Christians who have not been churched or have not been under the deception curse that has been placed on them by Zionism, by the Zionists, can understand what I'm talking about and receive it. Unfortunately, the higher numbers of Christians, they do not receive it. So, you know, if we're to make disciples of all men, then this is what I'm going to do. And I'm going to reach out into these areas, because Europe, you need to remember, their technology of shortwave, we had AM, FM here, okay? Shortwave was embedded into their lifestyle all the way back, World War II especially. So shortwave is still big there. The BBC has backed off some. They're the ones that had most of the transmitters. But now the availability of shortwave is there. And so those that do not have internet, or that their servers block people like me. You got to remember that. See, they're so far here in America, somewhat, you know, is being blocked, but not everything. In these other countries, they can't get Blog Talk. They can't get my message. Okay? So this is a good way to get to them with through shortwave. Now, South America, same way. That also includes Cuba. I think this is really exciting because now the people who don't understand, they're under curses, under this or that, and they haven't been churched, they haven't been programmed by the Zionists. What a wonderful opportunity. It's like if you marry a gal who's already got two kids and they're fairly young and you know that she's a God-fearing woman and you're a God-fearing man, what a wonderful opportunity to raise two children under the house of the Lord. You got to look at it like that. So what a wonderful opportunity to reach out to everybody. Plus, you know, we don't just talk about religion, we talk about other things. So this is really something. Now, the other is in Phoenix, KFNX 1100. They've got a very large transmitter. The way that they're located, they go all the way up to Sedona, all the way down to Tucson. So that's an incredible area, coverage, and so we're going to be on there too. And again, with the potential of 5 million in that area, especially, you know, with Julie being Hispanic, and the numbers of Hispanics down in the Phoenix area, I think that's a wonderful opportunity. There are brothers and sisters in Christ, too. Look, I don't blame anyone trying to find a better life. There are avenues that are correct through the law and everything that's happening. But what we need to do is that since this situation is already the way it is, how about we deliver them and so they're not the messenger of evil? They're not the ones that are going to come and cut our throats. How about we bring Jesus to them, just like there can be some Muslims brought around across the board. It's not going to happen a lot. But I think we have a better chance with those that may have been in Catholicism versus these Islamic laws. So that's what we're going to do. That's what I'm going to do. And I thank you for your support on that because, again, as I mentioned before the end of the year, that I was saying that I was going to be changing the ministry a little bit to branch out. So that's what I'm going to be doing. And as you noticed that I went a little longer tonight, I wanted to set a foundation tonight of understanding what's really going on out there and that there's going to be more instances of churches under disasters. And so you need to, you know, you need answers, right? You need to know what's going on. And so we're trying to set that stage. And Julie will be on tomorrow night. And with that, hopefully being united and in your prayers, stepping in the gap, interceding, standing in proxy, two or more gathered, then we can take back what the enemy has stolen. And at a minimal, at least, not to be in condemnation, because again, our children are the target, and that's the biggest part of my ministry, is to make sure that children are not going to fall prey. So God bless everyone. All right, well, I'm going to then end it, and I want to thank everyone, and I'm going to end it in a prayer. Father, I want to thank you for who you are, and especially thanking you for your son. Jesus, thank you. And angels, if we've offended you, we apologize. Holy Spirit, if we've offended you, quenched you, we apologize. We repent. So come to us. Show us. Guide us. Direct us to your will. And in this, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, as we move forward in your grace, power, and authority, we are going to be victorious. And in this, Father, as you bless us, that our children will be blessed, will be blessed in the country, blessed in the city, blessed in our ministries, blessed in our finances, blessed in our health, blessed in our relationships that are so important to be a family foundation amongst all of us. And again, Father, we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, well, I hope you got something out of that tonight. I just kind of freewheeled it to speaking what was from my heart. God bless everyone. Good night.